Good to see everybody tonight. Praise God. Well, first of last month, when I had opportunity to minister, I talked about the principles of increase, and one of those is the principle of honor. I want to continue with that idea of honor tonight, because it's such an important subject. In fact, what you fail to honor, you will not receive from. And honor, in fact, to receive is to honor, and to honor is to receive. And I think so much of the time we're looking for increase in our life and, you know, the provision that God has promised. And yet there are times that we don't qualify. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about you didn't get born again. I'm not talking about you not going to heaven. I'm talking about receiving from God and what he has promised that belongs to us. So I want us to open up in 1 Samuel chapter 2, if you would please. This is one of our scriptures here. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to read verse 30. But in this, we have this, Eli, who was the prophet at the time. And Eli's sons were rebellious. They were just doing whatever they wanted to do, and Eli didn't check them at all. In other words, he didn't discipline them, didn't correct them. And God had told him certain things about his house and how that God would bless him and that God would do things. But then Eli's sons and what he did with them, he disqualified himself from that. Now, and he said, "You have honored your sons above me." Anytime we put anything ahead of God, we're honoring that ahead of God. And by doing so, we can disqualify ourselves from the blessings of God. And I know, you know, we're not going to run and shout tonight. That's all right. We just shouted. But we're talking about, and really, one of the reasons that this is so important is because the devil is an honorless dude, okay? And society, Every kingdom takes upon it the characteristics of the king, whoever's the head of that kingdom. You know, a business, whoever runs in the business, especially if they're there on site and they're there, that business is going to take on their characteristics. And usually, if an employee fails to take on the characteristics of that business or that kingdom that they're in, they're not going to last there. Right? It happens everywhere. It happens in churches. It happens all over. Well, the characteristics of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of this world, is an honorless society. And, you know, it affects societies in time eventually. And, you know, here in this part of the world, it happened. It the roots came out of, after World War II in the United States, and when things came back to the United States, you know, we had a whole generation, because of the war, where fathers were either gone out of homes, moms had to go out of the house to work, and this whole society. And then we get to the 50s and we got Fonzie, who's like, "Hey man, you know, just everything is cool." And then the 60s came. Now, I was born in 61, so I didn't have anything to do with it, but I lived through it. But what happened in the 60s and the 70s was everybody, the blame shifting really hit hard. And it was the man, it's, you know, you're oppressing me. Everything was, and there was no one honored. Now, sometimes people don't do honorable things, but yet they're in a position we still have to honor. But you can hear in people, the way people refer to things, you can hear in their words, we can hear in our words, what we're giving honor to. Right? You know, the Bible talks about honoring your father and your mother, not your old man, your old lady. Let me say that again, because some of you need to hear this. Well, you don't know my mom and dad. No, I don't, but you wouldn't be here without them, so hey. At least give thanks for that. You just didn't appear. You know, Jesus just didn't appear. He had a mother, right? Father God, and then God gave him an earthly father. Amen. Honor. Honor. It's so important. Let's read what this scripture says here. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me. Now notice that. God had said, and how many of you know when God says that he speaks his will? And God had said to Eli that this house, that his house and the house of his father would walk before him forever. And his house, he was of the tribe of Levi, he was a priest, called to the priesthood of the nation Israel and to serve God and to represent God to the people and the people to God. But he said, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. Remember now in verse 29, he had said, you honor your sons ahead of me. They were doing all kinds of things. I mean, they were people, women would come to worship God and they were having intimate relationships with them. They're in the temple. There were just no honor for God, no reverence for God whatsoever. Just treating the things of God as common and ordinary and worldly, as if they don't matter. But he said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I don't know about you, but I can't afford to be lightly esteemed by the Lord. Amen? They that despise. See, to despise is to lightly esteem. How many of you know there is a law that God put in motion called sowing and reaping? And we do reap. Sometimes, you know, I'm amazed at people, and, you know, I have to be amazed at myself, first of all. I'm amazed. My granny used to say you-ins, but I'll say us-ins. I'm amazed at us-ins, us people. That, you know, we don't put two and two together. We don't see, we should recognize that there is reaping going on as a result of sowing. Now, do you know how many times I've prayed for crop failure? Thank God. God can take his plow and dig that bad seed up. But sowing and reaping works. And here, if you sow honor, you're going to reap honor. But if you sow despising or disdaining God, other translations say, you're gonna reap despisement. You're gonna reap being lightly esteemed. Amen. What does it mean to honor? To honor means to treat something as valuable and precious and weighty. In other words, it carries an importance to it. There's weight to it. How many of you know that real precious metals have a weight to them, right? You know, real metal, real precious metal doesn't turn your finger green. Amen? See, the real carries something with it. There's a weight to it. It's valuable. It's precious. But it also means to appreciate, to esteem highly, to favorably regard, to respect. You can get this out of any dictionary, Webster's Dictionary especially, or out of Strong's and Thayer's word studies. To appreciate, to esteem highly, to favorably regard, to respect. And I'll add this too, to honor is to receive from. To receive from. Jesus made statement. He said, if they don't receive what you say, they're not receiving me. And if they don't receive me, they're not receiving the one who sent me. Well, you could replace that with the word honor. Those who don't honor you are failing to honor me. And those that don't honor me aren't honoring the one who sent me. To receive. Well, how do we do that? We highly esteem. We appreciate. We favorably regard. We respect. You know, I heard Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, Pastor Hagin's father, and Pastor Craig and Pastor Denise's grandfather, I heard him say, in talking about ministers, you know, he would say, we need to learn to eat the hay and spit out the sticks. I remember this was actually happened while I was a student. We had somebody came in and he did a seminar. And afterwards, Brother Hagin got up and said, you know, during this one particular service, he said, I'll just be honest with you. He said, I didn't agree with anything that he said concerning that. He said, didn't see it as in the Word of God. But he said, right after that, in that same service, he said something that answered a question I'd had for years and years and years. See, you could disagree, but still honor and receive. So, you know, when you say, well, I just don't receive from them, what you're telling me is you don't honor them. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes I realize, you know, the Bible says, give honor to whom honor's due. And it's talking about a position and an anointing and a gift from God. That's what we're ultimately honoring. Because if I don't honor that individual, I'm not honoring the one who anointed them and put them in that position. Amen. Now, I realize there's different styles you're going to receive from better as far as ministry-wise and all kinds of things, you know. How many of you realize if we went throughout the room, we'd have all kinds of different styles of music that people like? You know, we've heard Pastor Hagin talk about he likes quartet gospel music. Well, I listen to that, you know. Listen, if you grew up in a house that listened to the Grand Ole Opry all the time, you're going to like some quartet music. I'll never forget the first time we were ever at Opryland. They're not downtown, but when they were out at Opryland, they had the out there, and the four guys were out there singing. And they had a special guest with them, this young upstart, Dolly Parton, singing on her own. I think she just quit singing with Porter, whatever. Well, you know, Dolly and Porter, she just out on her own. They had her come and do a couple songs there. But the four guys, you know, singing quartet music. Well, how many of them, that's not for everybody. Right? But you know, it's not the style that matters. It's the substance of the message. All that the style is the vehicle that drives the payload. Amen. Well, I like this. Okay, that's great. But you better make sure that you're open to receive from every other style that's out there. Because I know, I've been walking with 44 years. I've been saved now. And I've learned a few things. And one of the things I have learned is the moment you start saying, I can't receive from that, that's the one God's going to send to help you. And you better change. I know the whole time I was a student at Raymond, I told everybody. I had a roommate, one of my roommates, he went in youth ministry. And he ended up being a youth minister. And guess who was a youth minister in another church in the same area he was? And we did all kinds of youth events together. Me, who told everybody, I will never work with teenagers. I don't want to work with teenagers. I don't like teenagers. I was one. I don't like them. Within the first few weeks of being home, I didn't have any direction other than to go home. I went home and was volunteering there in my local church, and the pastor asked me to work with the youth. I wish I had a schedule I could have checked and said, well, let me see if that fits my schedule. But no, I found out, you know, one thing that you should learn is find something to put your hand to. It may not be where you're going to end, but you got to start. Amen. You know, there's a lot of folks that want to preach to adults, but I found this out. If you can't teach kids, you probably can't teach adults. We used to joke, you know, sometimes I think there are some adults that learn more in children's church than they do in the adult service. That's just learning style type thing, but, you know, amen. Them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. So these are a couple, you know, and I may only get through my introduction again. I've already said some different things, but I'm trying to get somewhere. But hey, I'm not going anywhere. Be here next time I preach, you know? I don't know. Look at Proverbs 3. I'm going to stay on this till the Lord says not to. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord, he said. Honor the Lord. Well, part of that, to honor the Lord, notice he says first fruit. Well, to honor the Lord is to put God's things first. But not only is it first, it's best. You know, the Bible calls Jesus a couple different terms. The firstborn also calls him the first begotten from the dead. He's God's firstborn, but then he's also the first begotten from the dead. First. That indicates this. Not only was he number one, he was God's best. Not was, he is. See, when God honors, he gives his best and his first. Amen. That's why there's no such thing as a second class calling. Amen. Whatever God has called you to do is first and best for you. Amen. So don't, that's why it's wrong for us to compare ourselves with, well, I wish I was, no. You do what God called you to do. That's the first and the best for you. And God has honored you by calling you. Summoned, giving you a divine summons, a divine invitation to come participate in what he's doing in the earth today. A calling and the gifts and the anointing that goes with it. But the first and the best. Now listen to what does it mean to dishonor God? To dishonor anything. You know, this could have to do with how we treat people, and we'll get to some of that maybe as we go on. But to dishonor means to treat something or someone as common or ordinary. Common or ordinary. Big, big, big thing that's happened in the last, over the last 40 years, if you will, since I've been in, is that church has become common and ordinary to a lot of people. Amen. The first, now listen, I hear people, well, I can serve God just as well at home as I, no, you can't. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now I realize some of you watching right now, I understand you're in a situation when you can't be here. I understand that. But we should never treat the things of God and the church and the gathering together, the saints of God together, the church together, the local church, as something common or ordinary. God is not common. He's not natural. He's supernatural. It's not ordinary. Yet we tend to take the things of God. Think of it this way. We shouldn't take the things of God for granted. It means to dishonor, means to disrespect, to devalue. How many of you know what you appreciate grows in value? What you depreciate loses value. It means to despise. Look at Malachi chapter 1. This is where we ended our last session. Malachi chapter 1. I started going back looking at some of my old notes and just, you know, in my folder, doing some folders where I got some sermons online on my saved, and I started going back, and I know the first time I ever preached them was 2011. I saw that I have. And looking at this, and I was going back, you know, and we have to constantly stay in these things and stir ourselves up, lest we let the truth that we've learned slip from us. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's mine honor? This is the Lord talking here now. And if I be a master, where's my fear or my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. See, or dishonor. Couldn't we say, we could say dishonor my name. And you say, wherein have we despised, or where have we dishonored your name? He says, you've offered polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And you offer the blind for sacrifice. Is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Or accept your person, says the Lord of hosts? Remember, to honor God is to bring your first and your best. He said, and now I pray, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, says the Lord of hosts? Verse 10. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Now, notice he didn't say, I don't love you. Didn't say anything about that. Didn't say that they weren't still his people. Now, see, we've here recently, and we needed it because in teaching some things, and you get over into a works mentality. See, in honoring God is not works. It's just doing what's right. It's the natural response to what God has done for us. But we can get over works. And so God raised up some men and women that taught their teaching on grace and taught it hard to the place that they almost were in the ditch over here trying to pull people out of the other ditch. But how many of you know the ditch on either side of the road is no place to drive? You want to drive in the road. And so this idea that because of God's grace, God is pleased with you is foolishness. If that's the case, why did Jesus say, I do always those things that please my Father? Do we know God loved Jesus? Absolutely. This is my beloved Son. But he said, in whom I'm well pleased. Why? Because Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. You can be loved by God, but not be pleasing to him. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, sometimes we're, well, this is all Old Testament. Well, God hasn't changed. When we don't honor God and put God's things first and give God and do our best with it, then it's not pleasing to God. Amen. See, we're talking about increase. You want to increase? How many of you love to have increase in your life? In the things that are important. Honor God. All right? Well, he goes on and says some more things there. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4. Well, one of the things we need to honor is God's Word. God's Word. Here in Proverbs chapter 4, this is kind of, for a lot of folks, familiar section of Scripture, but let's look what it says here. Proverbs 4, verse 20, my son, that's because this is Solomon, and I've seen some writings and some commentaries that say this is Solomon rewording and repeating what was taught to him by his father David and his mother. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. How many of you like to have an increase of life and increase of health in your life? Well, how many see the first thing? Attend to his word. What does that mean, attend to? Put it first place. In context of what we're saying, honor God's word. Keep hearing it. Keep it in front of your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Guard it with everything. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true, every man a liar. Put God's word first. See, because what you honor, you will receive from. I had the Lord say this to me. He said, what you honor from God's word, you will experience. He said, what you honor from my word, but I rewrote it for this for all. What you honor from God's word, you will experience. What you honor from God's word by declaring, you will see in manifestation. What you honor from God's word, you will experience. What you honor from God's word by declaring, you will see in manifestation. How many of you know there's a big part of the body of Christ, they don't honor speaking in other tongues? But how many of you know they'll never experience it? Right? Now, I'm not saying they're evil or anything, but they don't sometimes understanding and receiving, you know, if you don't understand something. How many of you found this out? What people don't understand, they tend to be against. You ever seen that in life, just in general? They don't understand it. Well, I don't understand that. Well, that's usually said from a, I'm not, and I'm against it, report. And then, you know, I found this out, especially in the ministry side of things, what we will boldly declare from God's word and honor, we will see the manifestation of. I was reading after some writers on this subject, and it talked about how sometimes, you know, I know from those who have done ministry in some countries, and there are still some nations, and it's almost over the top, so much over the top, it's embarrassing to be on the receiving end of it, but yet you understand where it's coming from, and that's the honor that's given in certain countries and the honor that they give you. And but I've noticed this. Where there is that honor, that I'm talking about true honor, not trying to puff someone up, not trying to, you know, and, you know, because we hear, especially in our, well, in the Western culture, we Christian church, you love to put people on a pedestal. No, we're not worshiping. Honoring is not worshiping them. And so I hear that, but that tells me this about you who are saying that you don't honor people. You have trouble giving honor to where honor's due. Well, you make stars out of your ministers. Well, you might. I'm not. But I sure am receiving. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. See, I can look at you in silence too, so that's all right. No, I'm not. Like I said, well, I think one reason God had me be a youth pastor for a while. Well, a youth leader, I'll never call myself a youth pastor. What are you laughing at, Amanda? My wife's laughing at me about that one. I ended up, did it for 3 years in one church and had to do it another year at another church. Got to do it. I shouldn't say had. I got to do it. But I found out that youth don't amen a whole lot. Amen, brother, preach it. No, never heard that. So I just keep on going with it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. But that honor, where that honor, that true honor is present, the manifestation of the anointing of God and the gift of God. I've had students go with me to different countries and, you know, and they'll say, you're different here. I'm not any different there than I am here. What is different is the honor that's there. And they receive from what you receive from what you honor. And it's not from Tad, it's from the anointing, the gift of God. Because if you receive me, you receive the one who sent me, which is Jesus. And if you receive him, you receive the one that sent him, which is the Father. That's why we lift Jesus up, not ourselves. And that's why Jesus said, all the honor comes to God. It's he that's doing it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be, that's the woman of God also, may be perfect, means mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That sounds like increase. That sounds like walking in the fullness of what God has for you. Well, in order to do that, I've got to honor God's word. What does the word say about it? That's why they put it there. God said it, I believe it. That settles it. That settles it for me. But actually, God said it, that settles it. Now, if you're going to receive it, you got to believe it. But if God said it, you know, you hear people, you know, all this. The Bible says Jesus is coming back. Pastor talked about that this morning. And you're hearing, you know, it rumbles around through the body of Christ at times, you know, that, well, all the, no, I don't care what you believe, Jesus is coming back. Because why? The Bible says it. Well, now I had a vision. I don't care what. That's why. See, honoring God's word will not allow me to put my experience or your experience above what God's word says. And I don't form my doctrine or belief system or whatever you want to call it, theology, based on anyone's experience, even my own. It has to be based on God's word. Amen. Honor the word of God. Let's end with this tonight, just to get this started. Because we kind of talked about it. Go to Mark chapter 6. Honoring the ones whom God has sent or the servants of God. Honoring them. Because when you honor them, you're not honoring them. You're honoring, you are, but you're giving honor to God. Because what you honor, you will receive from. What you dishonor, you will not receive from. I mean, there's cases, and one of them we won't look at, but I'm always reminded of that in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus was there, and doctors of the law, they were there from gathered together. And the Bible says the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord was there to heal them. Yet none of them got healed, because none of them honored. But one did honor, and four friends that honored with him. And he walked away healed. The rest of them didn't. Evidently, now listen, God just doesn't, the power of the Lord is present to heal them because some of them needed healing. That they went away without receiving because of their lack of honor. It happened here in Jesus' hometown in Nazareth, Mark 6, verse 1. And he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" So they recognized that these things were happening. But notice, they were astonished. Now look at verse 3. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. Notice their familiarity with him and his family caused them to dishonor him, not honor him. Because he goes on and says, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin, his own house. What does that mean? He said a prophet's honored everywhere but his home. In his home church. Basically what he's saying, Jesus, you realize Jesus is back at his home church. And he could there, the Bible said, do no mighty work, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled at their unbelief. See, with that, there's no faith outside of honor. He marveled. He could there. Now, I've heard people say, well, it doesn't matter what people believe. They didn't hinder Jesus at all. You can't explain it away. Amen. Honoring him. Because remember, what you honor, you will receive from. What you honor. Glory to God. Now, you know, all of us have experienced it, especially as we grow in ministry and things, you know. We've got all, you know, throughout time. I mean, Pastor Bill's been here. He's like, he isn't the Ancient of Days on this staff, but he knows the Ancient of Days. But He's seen a lot of different ministers, a lot of different pastoral staff members come through, you know, and it's always interesting when someone new comes along, you know, and people are like, well, you know. I had a guy tell me when I first got on pastoral staff, he said, I'll have to learn to accept you as a pastor. And he has. But he said, and I told him about it here just recently. He said, did I say that to you? I'm so sorry. I don't remember saying that to you. I'm so sorry. Amen. But here's the thing. Jesus made statements. We won't read it. Well, I don't have time. I'll say it now and then we'll close. He said, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive the prophet's reward. Let's say it this way. If you honor the prophet in the name of the prophet, you'll receive the prophet's reward, which is the anointing that is there and the manifestations. Amen. So sometimes when I go to these other countries and I go to different things, you know, that's one reason I say I'd rather preach here than anywhere in the world, because I sense the honor, not for me, but I feel like, you know, there's a freedom here because of that. I go to some church, I travel some, you don't get to travel some, and I've preached the same sermons here, I try to preach them there. It's like, you feel like a novice again. Like this is my lab sermon at Raymond or something, you know, in class. There sits Doc Horton, you know, looking at me while I preach this sermon. And I'm just hoping that buzzer will go off. Please let that buzzer go off. Isn't it time to please let the buzzer go off? I want off of here. Amen. But then sometimes other. Brother Hagin talked about that, that he used to go to a certain church and they would, for weeks, the pastor would talk about him coming and talk about the ministry of the prophet. And he said, I had more manifestation and walked in more anointing as the prophet in other than here during meetings here in any other church than that church had more manifestations of that ministry because they honored that ministry. What you honor, you will receive from. And it's impossible to have increase without honor. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that gets us to a place to stop there, and we'll hopefully pick up there the next time I minister. I'm just going to keep on going on this. I feel like the Lord wants me to, so praise the Lord. Let's all stand up together, if you would, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Amen. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. We give you praise, and we give you the honor. All the glory belongs to you. Praise, 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 praise the mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Help us, Lord God, to learn to honor you. Help us, Lord, to learn to honor your word. We want to be like the mighty of the Bible who honored you and saw great and mighty things. We want to see those things in our day because we want to help preach this gospel to all the world. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, men, come down to the men. Ladies, to the ladies. Praise the Lord. Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. And don't forget we'll have in the mornings, Monday through Friday mornings at 7:30 over in SDC. One, we have prayer, and then also Revive on Wednesday starting up. Then in August, we have some more prayer groups coming up. And all of us, let's be praying for a mighty move of God during camp meeting. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you back on Wednesday night.